Rabban Gamliel Hayomer, we're in the home stretch now. This is the pivotal part of the Seder, and here you should say every word and understand it. Rabban Gamliel Hayomer, Rabban Gamliel, who was the chief rabbi directly after the destruction of the temple, a direct descendant of Hillel Hanasi, of King David, he used to say, all who did not say the following three things on Pesach did not fulfill their obligation of Magid. We're about to finish Magid. You want to know what the minimum is? You got to say three things and explain them. They are as follows. Pesach, the Paschal offering. So we don't have a Paschal offering here. To commemorate the Paschal offering, we roasted that piece of chicken. We are careful not to refer to that piece of chicken as Pesach, because it isn't the Korban Pesach. We don't want people to get confused. So we look at it when we discuss the Pesach offering, because it commemorates the Pesach, but we don't lift it or do anything to show that it is the Pesach offering. So there are three central concepts tonight. Pesach, Matzah, Moror. Pesach. That's how we know it's the latter Rabban Gamliel. Because he says the Pesach that our forefathers used to eat when the temple was erect, al shumma. What's that referring to? When God went through Egypt, so he said he's going to destroy all the Egyptian gods, including the firstborns that were worshipped in Egypt. Well, guess what? The Jewish firstborns were also Egyptian idols. People would worship the Jewish firstborns as well. And God says, I'm coming into Egypt, I'm going to kill all the firstborns, and I'm going to pass over your homes. So that technically, well, we were in hot water too, because God's saying, I'm killing all the gods of Egypt and all the firstborns in Egypt, but I'm going to pass over your homes. So that's why we have this offering of Pesach to commemorate that God passed over our homes.
So you used to worship the Jewish male firstborns?
Maybe the Jews worship the Jewish male firstborns.
But the Jewish worship?
Jerusalem Talmud Tractate Megillah says that the Jewish firstborns were also idols, that the firstborns were worshipped in Egypt. Shenema is the verse.
They worship, like the fathers would worship their firstborn son?
I don't know, I wasn't there. I mean, I don't remember.
Wait,
Martem.
I have a question about that. If it was a shank bone and not a chicken bone, you still wouldn't pick it up?
Correct.
Because the Korban Pesach is something that we would do only in the Beit Amika.
We will say yes, and then when you advance in your learning, we will say no. Or let's say yes, but as you learn more, we will discuss the concept of a possibility of bringing a Paschal offering without a temple. Meaning right now, we don't have the capacity to bring a Paschal offering, so we're very careful not to treat it as a Paschal offering. But the idea that I must have a temple in order to have a Paschal offering, that's not so clear.
The Mishnah says you can sacrifice and eat it in Tumah.
That's also true. So why aren't we doing it today?
Yeah.
That's a deep, dark secret. That's a good question. Shneimar, the verse says.
Carrots.
What?
Ask the
carrots.
You
do it?
No. It seems that for quite a few generations after the temple was destroyed, they were bringing a Paschal offering. And it could be that even as far back as 900 years ago.
We technically could do it today.
But that's what I didn't want to discuss till you guys get more advanced. Shneimar is...
Where would they bring it?
I can't discuss this. Shneimar is the verse says, learn another 5 years, and then we'll start talking. Shneimar is the verse says...
Ask this on
Pesach night. V'amartem, and you will declare, Zevach Pesach hu Lashem. This is a Paschal offering in the name of Hashem. Asher pasach batei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim. God passed over the houses of Israel and Egypt. V'nukpot mitzrayim et bateinu itzil. As he smote the Egyptians and saved our houses. Yes, he had to save them. Don't touch my boy. B'ni b'chori Yisrael, like we said earlier, that's my boy. He's walking down to the playground with brass knuckles and says, no messing with my boy. That's itzil. He saved our homes. V'ikodam eshtachavu. And the nation bowed when they were given this wonderful news. Matzazu shianu chelim al shum ma. Why are we going to eat this matzah? Why? Al shum. Shelo speak, but the gam she loved, they know leach mitz. Because our forefathers' dough did not have time to sour. Till the King of all kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, appeared upon them, ugalam, and rescued them. Shnemaz, the verse says, they baked the dough that they took out of Egypt as cakes of matzah because it did not rise, it did not sour, for they were chased out of Egypt and they didn't have time to detain, and they had not yet prepared for themselves any food. So they had dough, but they didn't have food. And so now they had to bake it quickly. So they ended up having the matzah. So the matzah now, notice our whole matzah is going to commemorate the other aspect of Mitzrayim, which is the matzah represents redemption. We said the matzah represents lechem oni, the bread of our affliction. The matzah has the other side of it representing the bread of salvation. Maroze, this species of what's called maror. I notice I do not translate it as bitter herbs. Shianu achelim al shuma. This maror that we are eating, what's this in reference to? Because the Egyptians embittered the lives of our forefathers in Egypt. Shneimal, the verse says, they embittered their lives in every type of difficult work with mortar and bricks and every type of work out in the field. The work they made them do was back-breaking labor. What does this verse mean? It means that they would send them and say, I want you to capture a bear for me. I want you to catch a lion for me. I want you to get my coat free of fleas and ticks. And they would make them deal with labor that was every type of thing you could imagine out in the field, meaning they'd send them out to deal with wild animals. That's why the Egyptians got punished with wild animals attacking them. They made them deal with, they embittered their lives with difficult work. They'd make them deal with all kinds of fleas, and that's why they got the plague of Kinim. And they'd make them do parech, pointless back-breaking labor. And we have many examples of that. Now, we finish the three central themes, and we will conclude our Magid with the song of salvation, the song of Hallel. The song of Hallel predates the Torah. The song of Hallel was composed by the Jews as they left Egypt. That's why Hallel is called Hallel Mitzra'a, the Egyptian Hallel, because as you will see, the song of Hallel is all about the exodus from Egypt. So we conclude our Magid with the song of thanks, which will culminate with the blessing over the wine, with a blessing of thanks for redemption, and then a blessing over the wine, a second cup of wine. We shouldn't really talk now, because we are now going to sing a song. We should be consistent with the song from beginning to end. The song is the Hallel, the first half of the Hallel. And
from the Hallel we say, and the Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah, that's the Hallel you know. Now, we will sing through the Hallel and explain, and being that we're going to honor the cup of wine, we will cover the matzah as we hold up the cup of wine in song. But we're not yet up to that part. We will first read the final concluding paragraph. Bechol dovado chayav adam lirot et atzmo kilu yatza mimitzrayim. In every generation, listen closely, every person has to envisage himself as though he himself left Egypt. Now in Maimonides Agada, and in the Gaonim Agada, and this is what the Sfardim go with, is chayav adam leharot et atzmo. He has to show himself as though he left Egypt. It doesn't say you should do what I said earlier. Tell your kid I left Egypt. What we're doing is we're doing it as if I left Egypt. You have to envision yourself as though you left Egypt. And for the kids, you describe it as though you left Egypt. And you're telling them, you know, if not for the Exodus, we'd still be there. But a person has to show himself or envision himself as though he left Egypt. Shneimal, the verse says, You'll tell your kid on that day saying the following. You tell your kid, this is why God did it for me. So it doesn't mean you lie to the kid. Yes, so when I was out in Egypt, boy, was that sun beating on our head. No, that's not, I mean, you do it as an educational tool. But it's not that you're really lying to the kid. Because in truth, God didn't only redeem our forefathers, He took us out with them. As the verse says, God took us out of there. And the point of it is to bring us to the land that He promised our forefathers. Gentlemen, do not forget. A part of the Haggadah is L'shana Haba'a B'Yerushalayim Habnuya. It's not for naught that we end the Haggadah with that. The redemption was focused on bringing us back to the land of Israel. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, as the Gemara in Ksubos tells us, that if a wife tells her husband, I want to go to Israel, and the husband doesn't want to go, she could force him to go. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if a slave tells his master, I want to live in Israel, he could force him to go. And if slave. A wife, yes.
Slave.
Because, and it's not because of the mitzvah of living in Israel. Because a slave can't force the master, I want you to daven vasikin. A wife can't force the husband and say, I want you to take on astringency and grow your forelocks. It's not because of the mitzvah. It's because Eretz Yisrael is all-encompassing in its holiness. A human being here is different than a human being out of here. And the goal of the Yitzias Mitzrayim was, and you see it in the Torah, and you see it in the Agodah, is the fifth cup. You're going to get there. It's not just leave Mitzrayim. And you see it in the Dayenu also. It's leave Mitzrayim and go to Eretz Yisrael. The Bris Ben Absarim where Hashem tells Avram, this is the covenant, your children will go down to Egypt, concludes with, and they will come back to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a central theme of the night story as well. It's not the main point, but it's a part of the point. We weren't leaving Mitzrayim in a vacuum. We were leaving to be the chosen people, with the Torah, with a mission, and part of that job was to live in Israel and fulfill our job as Jews here in Israel. And that's why we say over here, Hashem took us out of there, Leman aviotanu latet lanu et haaretz asher nishba l'avoteinu, so as to bring us, to give us the land that He promised our forefathers, that is part and parcel with the redemption. And if you look closely in the Torah, when Moshe comes to Am Yisrael and says the four terms of redemption, he adds a fifth point. He says, "Veivasi eschem, I will bring you to the land." But there's a precondition to that fifth point. Vidatem ki ani Hashem. You have to know, you have to connect with the idea that I run the world. And when the Jews did the golden calf, and the Jews listened to the spies, they reneged on their end of the deal. They did not keep the Vidatem ki ani Hashem. So they did not merit to fulfill, to completely fulfill the redemption with coming to Eretz Yisrael. That had to wait for the next generation. But in essence, there was a fifth term. There was a completion to the redemption, which was Veiveiti etchem, I will bring you.
Is that to say that one has to get to the Madrega where he knows Hashem, is comfortable with Hashem, his connection is good with Hashem in order to...
That's an excellent question, which deserves a separate class.
I don't understand the question.
He's saying maybe even for us, being in Eretz Yisrael requires of us to be on a level of Vidatem ki ani Hashem. That's a very good question.
Just by virtue of us being in Israel? What if we were in Israel for one day and we're just starting to ask questions?
Okay.
How could we be expected?
I didn't say I agree with him. I said the question is good and deserves a discussion.
Avanti.